This morning I want us to talk about what is a miracle? What is a miracle? Let's go to John 16 and verse number 13, and let's read this first. What it says in John about what is the purpose of miracles. Reads here, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And after reading that, the purpose of miracles, first thing, is to reveal the truth. He will speak and reveal the truth. Also, to confirm the truth. And I've got some scriptures here that I'd like to have you read with me. Let's go to Hebrews next. And this is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. And Hebrews 2, starting at verse number 3, it reads, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. You know, God shows, after reading this, he shows his agreement with the speaker. He shows that agreement. Now let's turn to Mark 16 and verse number 20. Mark 16 and verse 20. In verse 20 it reads, and they went out, and they preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them, and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. They confirmed the word that was spoken. And then one last scripture reading for right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. Acts 2, verse number 22, it says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. To confirm the truth, God shows his agreement with the speaker. He confirmed the word spoken, and Jesus was attested by God through miracles. But these miracles, they were not done for the miracle's sake alone. Because purposes were accomplished. You know, Paul said that the miraculous gifts would end. And let's go to 1 Corinthians and see what it says there. This is 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse number 9. This is what Paul's talking about, the miraculous gifts that would end. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesize in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with the childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. He said that those gifts, the miraculous gifts, would end. But Paul said that, but yet there is some confusion occurs when we go to James and read James chapter 5, starting at verse number 13. James 5, starting at verse number 13. It reads here, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Paul said that those miraculous gifts were going to be over and done with. But yet, after reading this, there's some confusion. It says, if miracles have ceased, then doesn't this commandment only apply to the first century Christians? If they have ceased. And that leads me into the title of my sermon this morning. Why should we pray for the sick? Why should we pray for the sick? First of all, we misunderstand what is truly a miracle. Because people use miracles in too broad of a sense this day and age, I feel. And the one that's just caught my attention yesterday was March Madness and the basketball games. He made a miracle shot. They won by a miracle that ball game. Everything was a miracle this, a miracle that. They use it a lot in sports. But let's discuss a little bit about miracles, if we would please. Miracles, first of all, these were feats that man could not accomplish on his own. In the old days of the Bible, they just couldn't be done by man alone. And the other thing about miracles, they were instantaneous. They happen now. Not working up to it. It just happened now. Let's look at some examples. And I'm going to go back to the scripture reading from this morning that Brian read. And this is in Acts chapter 3, beginning at the very first verse. Acts 3, verse number 1. Let's stop and read this a little bit and just talk about miracles. It reads here now, "Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he begins to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and he began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. After reading that, I want you to notice that there was no recovery period involved. This man that had been unable to walk since his birth immediately got up and started walking and praising God. No recovery period was involved. And also, there was no question that the miracle occurred. Even by the non-believers, they knew that this miracle had occurred. Because if we go, still staying in Acts, but go over to chapter 4 and verse number 16. Acts 4, verse number 16. It says, saying, what shall we do with these men? And these men that they're talking about is Peter and John when they were arrested. What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has just taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I want to look at another example. Still staying in Acts. This time, let's go over to chapter 20. Acts 20. Starting at verse number 9. Acts 20 and verse number 9. And this is another example of these miracles. It reads, and there was a young man named Mark, what's his name? I butcher the name, I'm sorry. Anyway, there was a young man sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep, and he fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, do not be troubled. For his life is in him. When he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They took away the boy alive and was greatly comforted. Folks, we cannot restore life. This is what I would be calling a miracle. That he was dead, picked up dead, and he went down and embraced him, and he walked away. They carried him away. Let's look at another example. This time, let's go back to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, and we're going to start at verse number 9. Acts 13, and starting at verse number 9, it says, but Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him. And he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Another thing that we cannot do, we cannot take sight away. by word alone. Once again, this is another example of a miracle. But when we turn to James chapter 5, James chapter 5, excuse me, beginning to verse number 13. James chapter 5, verse 13, this doesn't indicate that miracles are involved when we read this. Go down to verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will respond to the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. As if he has committed sins, they will forgive him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You know, when we pray for a loved one and they recover, it is a sign that God has heard and he's answered our prayers. But it's not a miracle. He has heard our prayers, he answered our prayers, but it is not a miracle. And the reason I'm saying that, we all know of people in our lives that we've prayed for, they've recovered, but with regards to being instantaneous on the road to recovery, it takes time. There is still recovery time involved. The health is not restored instant. Like the lame man at the gate, he got up right away and started walking and never walked in his entire life. That is a miracle. This day and age, when the Lord answers our prayers and we have someone that is sick, might have a little recovery time, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in a care facility, whether it's home, whatever. But it's not instantaneous. And after saying that, you may think to yourself, well, the elders had miraculous gifts during the first century. True, that's true. Some elders had some gifts. But don't forget that all Christians did not have all gifts. Because if we turn to 1 Corinthians, it's going to talk a little bit more about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read from verse number 4 first. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then let's skip down to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he will. They did not have all the gifts. All Christians did not have gifts, and especially all Christians did not have the gift of healing. Because if we're still staying in 1 Corinthians 12, let's go over to verse number 28 through 30. I'll read a little bit more about this. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongue. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? And all do not interpret, do they? Did not have the gift of healing. All Christians did not have all gifts. You know, to claim that miracles were involved back in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 is simply an assumption. You're just assuming this. Because let's go back to that. And I got to reread this again. This is James 5, once again, beginning at verse number 13. And I want you to notice the context there. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven from him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Question for all of you. Does it take a miracle for prayer to ease suffering? Does it take a miracle for song to spread cheerfulness? Does it take a miracle to be forgiven of your sins? I think if we attribute the healing to miracles, means that you missed James' point that we're just talking about here. Because what James is talking about is this power of prayer. That is what he is talking about. Because prayer can accomplish much more than we give credit for when it was done by a believer. Once again, James 5, last verse, 16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You might be saying, what's the proof here? What is the proof? Well, let's still stay in James 5. Let's just go down to verse number 17. Verse number 17, it reads that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the skies poured rain, and the earth produced his fruit. Well, after reading that, you might say to yourself, well, that's because God wanted it to happen. That it rained, and he produced the fruit of the earth. Well, of course God wants it to happen. All prayer is answered in accordance to God's will. But what I want you to think about, though, would the drought have come if Elijah did not pray? Something to think about. If that would it had been necessary to have the rains if Elijah did not pray that it not rain? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Beginning at verse number 14. 1 John 5, beginning at verse number 14. It reads, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If we ask according to his will, he will hear. According to his will, we will hear. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God listens to the prayers of the righteous. He does listen to the prayers of the righteous. You know, I have personally seen the power of prayer. And I don't think that I am the only one here this morning that can say that. I've seen the power of prayer. Because when you stop and think what the power of prayer has done for you or for someone in your life, it goes to show you one thing. That prayers work. That prayers definitely work. You know, in closing, I want you to think of one thing here. That the time of these miraculous gifts has ended. But God has not ceased to work in our lives. Just because the miracles have happened, he's still there with us. You know, sometimes I feel that too many Christians no longer believe God's promise. They no longer believe God's promise. They no longer trust in their own prayers. And I find that a terrible thing. Because the prayers of a righteous man, they will be answered. And so, in closing, if there are people in our audience today that are not a Christian, would like to turn to God in prayer, we have everything ready for you. And the commandments that he talks about is to hear Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The sins, you need to repent of those sins. You need to confess Jesus. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Be baptized, fully immersed in water. Wash away the old man of sin. When you come up out of that water, brand new man. And last but certainly not least, and that's what's happened to, I think, a lot of people in this world today. They've given up, but don't give up. Don't give up. You need to be faithful always. And you need to have that faith. Because as they say, faith is not believing that God can. It's knowing that God will. So, if we have anybody in the audience that would like to be baptized, or if you're Christians here that have been having a struggle this past week, and if there's anything that we can do for you, we ask that you please come forward and we sing the song of invitation that Brian selected.